We're going to turn back to where we read in Philippians chapter 2, and still being at the beginning of the year, we're going to have a meditation on the future. And I want to focus on these words, especially verse 13. But at the end of verse 12 of Philippians 2, Paul says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." It's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what the future is. And people often say, well, it's just as well, isn't it? Which often strikes me as a very pessimistic thing to say. It's a sort of doom-laden thing, as though the future was going to be inevitably bad. But let me ask you what relationship you have with the future this morning. Are you an ostrich? Do you, like the proverbial ostrich, bury your head in the sand and just try not to think about the future at all? Just concentrate on the present, getting by. Or are you a sheep? Like those sheep that when you meet them on the road, they just run along the road in front of you. They don't think to get off the road. They just keep running and running and running in front of you. Are you a sheep and the future is coming down, bearing down upon you, and you're just running away from it? You're scared by it and it panics you, and you're continually trying to avoid having to deal with it. Are you a squirrel? A worrying squirrel? Concerned about all the potential pitfalls of the future and trying to make them all safe by storing up and making provision in every kind of way you can think for the future? Are you a rabbit caught in headlights with regard to the future? Just sitting there waiting to be hit by the car, fatalistic, waiting to die, saying things like, "What will be, will be." Or are you a lion? And the lion that's the top of the food chain doesn't have so much to worry about. You can handle the future. You eat the future. Are you a lion? Well, none of us knows what's ahead. And because I was thinking about this message, and I was actually thinking about this on the way through, I did a funeral in Ferrenham Friday for a lady who used to live in the sheltered housing in Dorney. As I was driving through, I was thinking about this subject, and I was actually thinking to myself, well, what are the potential scenarios for me in 2018? What might happen? And of course, who knows except God? But, well, I suppose I might just continue on an even keel as minister of the congregation here and have a busy and eventful and hopefully encouraging year. But other things may happen. My workload, which at times is pretty overwhelming, might just get too much for me. I might have a breakdown. I might answer a call from another congregation and move somewhere else. I might have a mountain bike accident and no longer be able to work. This is being cheery that keeps me going. My pursuit of God might bring personal revival on a level that I long for but haven't experienced. That in turn may prove to be a blessing to many and be shared by many. That would be a great scenario. Jesus may return when the day of judgment and the new creation may be ushered in. The Scottish government may pass legislation that prohibits biblical teaching on human sexuality. And I might end up in prison. I might die. I might take a break from ministry in order to have time to write the book that I'm itching to write, but I don't have time to write. I could go on and on and on. I mean, there's lots and lots of potential scenarios. And I don't know if any of these will happen. Just as I don't know if I'm going to finish this sermon. Because last Sunday, at just about this point in the sermon, I just couldn't go on. I was feeling so bad. So we just don't know. We don't even know the next moment. We don't know the future. I was quite struck by the news this morning about a false alert that was issued in Hawaii. Well, what time would that have been? I suppose it would have been just a few hours ago, but Hawaiian government mistakenly sent out an alert to the people of Hawaii that a nuclear strike was on the way. And the whole island went into mass panic. Just now, if that had been true, it certainly would have been a change in people's plans for the future that they hadn't anticipated. Thankfully, it was a mistake. Presumably human error somewhere. Or maybe I suppose someone might have done it as a hoax or something. Who knows? But in any case, it was dramatic. And things can change very, very suddenly. And we have to deal in our lives then with a great deal of uncertainty. And how do we cope with that? How do you cope with the uncertainty of the future? I guess in many ways we try to reduce uncertainty. And so we build into our society many ways by which the risk of the future can be mitigated. Like, for example, we build a great health service so that if we get ill, we can be healed in most cases. Dealing with uncertainty, sometimes it's just like that ostrich. We just try not to think about it at all. Or we get good insurance. We buy good insurance so that we can cover most eventualities with at least some financial recompense. While I was actually preparing this sermon, I get quite a lot of spam into my email box. I got the offer of a medium to read my future, which is another way that some people deal with the future. In fact, a lot of people deal with the future that way. They go and they consult people who purport to be able to tell them something about their future. And I guess that for many it's a case of just trying to have as much money as they can by whatever means, because money can help to reduce the risk associated with the future. But the fact is, it doesn't go away. We live in a world full of risk, and we live with the future as an uncertain, unknown. Things can change, and sometimes very tragically, as we've reflected with the children, for Jairus and for the Walker family in Applecross, as for others. But as Christians, we really should have a very different view of the future to other people around us. Because, as verse 13 says, we believe, at least we should believe, that God is working in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. That whatever else can be said about our lives are full of God's purpose. And that we have to work out, to use the words at the end of verse 12, we have to work out what that means in our lives. And we have to work out how that can really help us to deal with, among other things, the future. So there's another dimension to the future that we can easily forget, and we can just worry just like everyone else about the future. We can forget that God is working in us. He really is. This is something that a Christian needs to be constantly aware of, and at the beginning of a year it's a good time to reflect. God is working in us. God has a purpose in our lives. And the Bible says this so many times. In Ephesians, the previous letter in the Bible, Ephesians 1 verse 11, it says, God is working out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So that's the future. It's God continuing to work out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now Isaiah 46 verse 10, God says, I make known the end from the beginning. I already know what the end is. I make it known from the beginning. This is God speaking about how he can give prophecy about the future, because he knows what the end is. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. So the future isn't some sort of big, unfeeling bludgeon that's coming towards us to clobber us. The future is God's future. One writer, a fellow called Wayne Grudem, he says we should adopt a much more personal view of the universe and the events in it. A personal view. In other words, the universe is not just like a machine that is just grinding out some kind of unfeeling, uncaring future for us. The universe is controlled and governed by the living God. And he's carrying out his purposes in it. So everything that we experience in the universe, in our daily lives, is an expression of God's purpose in our lives. So let's run through a few things that this means for us. First of all, it does mean that God knows the future. We don't know the future, but God knows the future because he knows where he's taking things. He's got a purpose, and he's going to carry out that purpose, and he's taking your future, or your life rather, to a future that is according to his purpose. So whenever we think about how uncertain things are to us, and how random things sometimes seem to be, God is deliberately bringing things to a non-random, a deliberate, a precise, predetermined future in his plan. And that's how he knows the future, because he determines it. And God has a purpose. That's what it says in verse 13. God has a purpose. And there's a lot that could be said about this, because the Bible speaks about the future. It's always speaking about the future in a way that nothing else can, because no one else knows the future but God. And he can tell us the future when he chooses. And we know from this that he has a purpose for the future. One of those purposes is the purpose he has for his people. This is Ephesians 2 verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the incomparable riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's a great purpose. The purpose of God is that no matter where you're at today in your life, in the ages to come, he is going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to you in Christ Jesus. That's determined already, because it's what God is going to do. It's his purpose. The future is determined by God. And that's what he's going to do. That's exciting and it's wonderful. The Bible also is full of warning about the future. For those who don't know Jesus, this is 2 Thessalonians 1. It says, God will punish those who do not know him and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. That's the purpose of God as well. And that purpose also will stand. So the purpose that Paul's speaking about here in verse 13 is really the first purpose. It's the purpose to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness, because that is his purpose for his people. And that's what we're thinking about. in verse 30. God is working in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. But for those who reject him, there is a purpose that they will be shut out from his presence. His purpose will stand, and it doesn't matter what any of the strutting world leaders or posturing powers of this world will do. God's purpose will stand. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Doesn't matter what people are planning. Doesn't matter what great enterprises are lined up in the minds of politicians or people with lots of money, corporations or whatever. It's the Lord's purpose that will stand. So God knows the future. He's got a purpose for it. He determines the future is the next thing, because that follows really. He's in control, and he knows where he wants to take it, and he's taking us there. And he is absolutely determining how we get there. He is going where he wants to go with us. So, as Christians, we need to be really positive about this. I think sometimes we feel almost like we're that person in the old black and white movies who's tied to the railway track, and the train's coming. And for us, you know, we can think about the future like that, like we're helpless before the future, and the future is like this great train that is steaming towards us, and we're tied to the track and we're doomed. It's not like that. Because what Paul's saying here is that we're on the train. We're not tied to the track. We're on the train of God's purposes. And we're traveling with God. God is taking us somewhere. And we know some detail about that. We know that in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. And God is determining that future. Another thing it means is that God will therefore resolve the bad things. He will resolve the bad things. As people have real problems with this, and Christians do as well. Christians often feel, why is my journey, if I'm on the train of God's purposes, take me into the future of God's great blessing that he's planned for me, why am I suffering? Why is life miserable? Why is life tough? Why are really hard things, tragic things, bad things happening to me? Or maybe it's not you, but it's someone else that you care for. Why is their life so grindingly miserable? So sad. God will resolve these bad things. Romans 8 verse 28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose." We know that. We don't know how it's going to happen often, but God's going to work for good, and he works for good even with the death of Jairus' daughter. And he can work for good even in the most difficult circumstances in our lives. So for the Christian, there's no such thing as, for example, a premature death or a tragic death or a meaningless death, because God's in it and he's working for good. And nothing that happens in our lives, however difficult they are, nothing that can happen is out with God's sovereign power to work out for good. And God is good. And we need to know that. God is good. You can only take comfort that God is in control of your future if you know that he is good. If you know that you're in a right place with God yourself, and you know that God is good, then you can really take comfort as you think, God's working in me to will and to act according to his good purpose. if you know that God is good and he's working in you for his purpose, then what a comfort there is in that. What a strength you can draw from that knowledge as you think about the future. Part of God's purpose already seen in this world was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And if ever God was taking the opportunity to show his love and to show his goodness and to show how he could work all things for good, it was there at the cross where Jesus suffered and died for us and for our sins, in order that we can be right with God, in order that we can know not only that he is good and that he did that for us, but that our sins are forgiven and we're in the right place with God ourselves. And for that, we need to get rid of any other goodness in our lives. I mean, of trusting in any other goodness. The goodness that we need to trust in is the goodness of God as our Saviour in Jesus Christ. We can't trust in our own goodness. We can't trust in the goodness of our parents to make us right with God. We need to trust in God's goodness, what God's done for us. And then we can know him for ourselves, working out his purposes in our lives and in the future. And we can be absolutely calm and at peace and untroubled by thinking about the future, or when we think about the future, because we know that God is equipped to provide for us in every way for the future, and that his great purposes will prevail. No matter what happens, he'll work things for good, and no matter how bad things get, we can look forward to things being absolutely and unspeakably wonderful in the ages to come. So that our troubles here will, as Paul says, be just like light and momentary compared to the glory that is to be revealed. You've maybe heard us saying before that we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that's really what I've been saying today. We don't know what the future holds. But if we believe in a good God who is working all things for good, and whose purposes are actually and ultimately glorious purposes, and has shown his goodness in sending his Son for us, then even though we don't know what the future holds, knowing that he holds the future gives us great reassurance and comfort today. And may God bless each one of us to go forward into this year with that kind of confidence and assurance in our lives. He knows where he's taken us, and it's good. And we can trust him to carry out his purpose, no matter what the vagaries and fortunes of life may seem to hold for us ahead. We know it's in his hands, and they're good hands. Amen.